Hey, you meatheads. Welcome to California Dreamin', a show about California and dreaming. Pretty obvious. And since it is that I live in California, I wanted to learn some interesting information about this state. So we are going to go way back to 1542. When Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo is the first European to visit the coast of California. Several years later, in 1579, English explorer Sir Francis Drake landed on the coast near San Francisco and claimed the land for England. However, the land was far away from Europe, and European settlement didn't begin for another 200 years. In 1769, the Spanish began building missions. They built 21 total missions along the California coast. They also built forts called presidios and small towns called pueblos. One of the presidios to the south became the city of San Diego, while in 1781, a mission built to the north would later become the city of Los Angeles. So in 1781, the city of Los Angeles is established. In 1821, California becomes part of the country of Mexico. In the 1840s, the settlers began to arrive from the east of the Oregon Trail and the California Trail. And then in 1846, California declares its independence from Mexico. So California had become part of the country of Mexico in 1821. So it only took 25 years before California declared its independence from Mexico. In 1848, the United States gains control of California after the Mexican-American War. Also in 1848, gold is discovered at Sutter's Mill, and the gold rush begins. Sutter's Mill is about 50 miles northeast of Sacramento and 2 hours west of Lake Tahoe. This was one of the largest gold rushes in history. Tens of thousands of people moved to California specifically to get rich. So, yeah, that was a long time ago. Between 1848 and 1855, over 300,000 people had moved to California. In 1850, California is admitted to the Union as the 31st state. In 1854, Sacramento becomes the state capital. 1869, the first transcontinental railroad is completed, connecting San Francisco with the East Coast. This was due to so many people migrating west to California, even after the gold rush was over. California became a major farming state with plenty of land in the Central Valley for growing all sorts of crops, including apricots, almonds, tomatoes, and grapes. In 1879, Sacramento is named the permanent capital. In 1890, Yosemite National Park is established. In the early 1900s, many major motion pictures companies set up shop in Hollywood, because this city was a great location for filming. It was close to several settings, including the beach, the mountains, and the desert. Also, the weather was generally good, allowing for outdoor filming year-round. Soon, Hollywood became the center of the filmmaking industry in the United States. I'm sure that Hollywood will become quite the subject in this podcast in the upcoming weeks. And the next major event to happen in California was in 1906. A huge earthquake destroys much of San Francisco. In 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco is opened for traffic. So it hasn't even been quite 100 years since the Golden State Bridge was traveled. But of course, cars haven't been around an awful long either. In 1955, Disneyland opens in Anaheim. All right, now for some fun. Some Hollywood, aka Holly Weird, facts. And this is about when Hollywood was founded. Hollywood was laid out as a subdivision in 1887 by Harvey Wilcox, who was a prohibitionist, which is, prohibitionist is the forbidden by law of the manufacture, transportation, and sale of alcoholic liquors except for medicinal and sacramental purposes. And he was from Kansas. However, real estate magnate H.J. Whitley transformed Hollywood into a wealthy and popular residential area. Hollywood became a municipality in 1903 and was incorporated into Los Angeles in 1910. How did Hollywood get its name? Now, this is interesting to me because I did not know this until researching. Dieta Wilcox, and I apologize if that is not how her name is pronounced, she gave Hollywood its name. She was the wife of Harvey Wilcox, who owned the area, and in 1887 submitted a subdivision map to the Los Angeles County Recorder's Office that used the name. She was a devout Christian, and she reportedly overheard the word Hollywood on a train and thought that it was a perfect name for the Wilcoxes' envisioned utopia. And if you're unfamiliar with utopia, it is an imaginary place of ideal perfection, especially in laws, government, and social conditions. When you think Hollywood, I am sure one of the things you think of is the iconic Hollywood sign. Now, that was originally erected in 1923. However, the sign did not read Hollywood, but Hollywood Land. Its purpose was advertising real estate development in the area. In 1949, because the sign had been damaged, the H had fallen over, it was repaired to read Hollywood. Before that, when the sign was named Hollywood Land, it had 40,000 blinking light bulbs advertising a new housing development built to accommodate the city's surging population, which more than doubled during the 1920s to become the fifth largest in the country, as the city drew people from all over the country for its weather, open spaces, and jobs. So the consensus of 1930, the largest city in the country was New York at that time, with a population of 6,930,446. The second largest was Chicago, third Philadelphia, fourth Detroit. And then the fifth, Los Angeles / Hollywood, the population, or the consensus, was only 1,238,048. So New York had, about 5.5 times more people than Los Angeles. In the 1940s, Los Angeles, as both city and symbol, started to change. The sign, a little dingier, a little more unsightly, reflected the changing city. Since it was originally intended as an advertisement, few had considered its permanence or long-term significance. The hillside where it had been built, as in the Hollywood sign, was dangerously steep, Workers had cut the letters from thin sheet metal, which they tacked onto telephone poles. Heavy winds could easily rip those letters away, and by the late 1940s, there had been so much deterioration that the city of Los Angeles proposed to tear it down, calling it a dangerous public nuisance. That dismissive view of the sign began to change in 1949 when the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce told the city that it would take over its ownership and maintenance. With that exchange, the land suffix of the sign, so the land on Hollywood land, was dropped. We could say that this is the point that the Hollywood sign we know today was actually born. So, 1949. By the early 1970s, committees were formed to help save the sign and restore it. Finally, in 1978, a committee led by none other than Hugh Hefner and Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper is a singer and he's got his own radio show out of Arizona, I believe. He's just seems like a really cool guy. Anyway, Hugh Hefner and Alice Cooper collected approximately $27,000 per letter to not just repair, but to rebuild the sign. Today, that sign is here to stay, even through vandals and unbridled weather. The last well-known change to the sign was in 1976 by an art student when he added and removed some things on the sign to make it read Hollyweed. Now that you've learned some things about California, well, hopefully some of the things you did not know, now is the portion of the show called Just the Facts, Ma'am. And basically, this is about useless information, but pretty cool. The first, and this is a difficult one to say, so I hope I get this correct. Tyrophobia is the fear of closely packed holes, or more specifically, an aversion to the sight of irregular patterns or clusters of small holes or bumps. I believe it's Spencer Henry from Obituary Podcast has this fear because he mentioned something similar in an episode about fears. That's a good podcast, by the way, Obituary, spelled O-B-I-T-C-H. U-A-R-Y. Avocados and tomatoes are fruits, not vegetables. The avocado is technically considered a single-seeded berry. That's strange. So avocados are actually berries. I didn't even know that. And I'd forgotten, even though I took these notes quite a while back. The Eiffel Tower can be 15 centimeters, which is approximately 6 inches, taller during the summer due to thermal expansion, meaning the iron heats up and the particles gain kinetic energy and take up more space. Staring at this word. Allodoxophobia is the fear of other people's opinions. It's a rare social phobia that's characterized by an irrational and overwhelming fear of what other people think. Australia is wider than the moon. The moon sits at 3,400 kilometers, or 2,112 miles, in diameter, and Australia's diameter from east to west is almost 4,000 kilometers, which is 2,485 miles. Mellifluous is a sound that is pleasingly smooth and musical to hear. So the word mellifluous, mellifluous. It may be difficult to say that word quickly more than a few times. The Spice Girls were originally a band called Touch. Mel C said, When we first started with the name Touch, we were pretty bland. She further states, "We felt like we had to fit into a mold." She had told that to The Guardian in 2018. Human teeth are the only part of the body that cannot heal themselves. Teeth are coated in enamel, which is not living tissue. So it's probably not good for me to chew ice, which is just one of my nervous habits, I believe. It is illegal to own just one guinea pig in Switzerland. It's considered animal abuse because they're social beings and get lonely. That is actually very sweet. The ancient Romans used to drop a piece of toast into their wine for good health. Hence why we quote-unquote raise a toast. The heart of a shrimp is located in its head. They have no arteries and their organs float directly in blood due to no circulatory system. Amy Poehler was only 7 years older than Rachel McAdams when she took on the role of quote-unquote cool mom in Mean Girls. Rachel, 25-year-old, was Regina George, of course, and Amy was 32 years old as her mom. They both look great. Taking warm showers increases our dopamine flow, which makes us more creative. So my thought is, what are people doing in the shower that requires being creative? Now that's my question. Well, maybe not. Venus is the only planet to spin clockwise. It travels around the sun once every 225 Earth days, but rotates clockwise once every 243 days. Nutmeg is a hallucinogen. It contains myristicin, a natural compound that has mind-altering effects if it's ingested in large doses. So don't think that you can just get a piece of the nutmeg, chew it up, and start seeing apparitions or the dog that passed away 20 years ago. And another thing, opium is derived from the poppy plant, which is pretty well known these days. Poppy is also the California state flower. I don't know that it's the same class of poppy flowers, but it doesn't matter because I don't plan on getting opium out of a poppy plant. A 73-year-old bottle of French Burgundy became the most expensive bottle of wine ever sold at auction in 2018, going for $558,000. Which is approximately 439,300 lire. The bottle of 1945 Romani Conti sold at Sotheby for more than 17 times its original estimate of $32,000. Oh my gosh. Competitive art used to be an Olympic sport. Between 1912 and 1948, the International Sporting Events awarded medals for music, painting, sculpture, and architecture. Shame it didn't catch on. The famous pottery seen in Ghost could have won an Olympic medal as well as an Academy Award for the best screenplay. Lastly, on the Just the Facts, ma'am, a chef's hat has 100 pleats. Apparently, it's meant to represent the 100 ways you can cook an egg. And now that my knowledge runneth over, I'll tell you about the book I'm reading. I am an avid reader. I read about one book per day and often lose myself in the world of the characters. I tend to read small town sleuth romance sort of books, but today I am reading one of witches and demons and good versus evil. It's about a psychic. Her name is Charlie. All she has to do is simply touch someone's hand, and she has visions of what the person is going through, has gone through. And sometimes while she has her hand touching the other person's, a spirit of the opposite person will come forth and ask Charlie to give the person a message. Charlie tries to avoid shaking hands or brushing up against people when possible. Her main thing that she does is she has dreams. She has dreams of the past and the past of a murder victim. So a spirit will show her the way to the incident as it unfolds. And Charlie will sometimes get into the mind of the victim and therefore can hear all the emotions, the words that are spoken. And when she awakes from that dream, she goes to see how she can go about helping that spirit find its peace and move on to the light or heaven. This is the third book of the series, so she has already established a relationship with the detective in town. So she helps him on a lot of cold cases to find bodies or find out what happened in a murder. Charlie has a few cousins that help her trap spirits or anything else to solve the crime or help people to stop being haunted by an evil spirit or ghost. Each cousin has her own gift as far as what she can do. They are all witches of white magic. Charlie is the only one out of the cousins that can see the dead and also see what someone has gone through. So I guess she's the only one who has premonitions. The other cousins have their own talents. It is definitely a sort of fun series. However, it is a bit darker than what I am used to because I normally read books that are more lighthearted. This one has the angels, the demons, the spirits. It has children who are brutally murdered. It doesn't go into too much detail on how they are killed, but it is a bit demented. So if you're sensitive to that type of thing, you don't want to read this series. It is the Witches of Palmetto Point books, and the book that I am on is number 3. It is called Devil's Snare by Wendy Wang. If you have Kindle Unlimited, it is a free rental. Now to the dreaming part of California Dreaming. I've named this segment simply Dream a Little Dream. This dream is by Loretta. That is me. I had it Sunday, July 10th, 2022, at approximately 4:48 p.m. It is simply titled, I Want My Cake. Me and my friend Kirsten were verbally fighting with each other and calling each other names. But eventually I asked her if we could be friends again. So we were. We were pretty forgiving of one another. In the midst of this, I was going back and forth into a building trying to get a piece of cake. It had buttercream and it looked so good. The pieces were tiny and they were charging $10 a piece for them. I told them I'd be back with money. But every time I went back, there was an obstacle preventing me from getting to it. I kept yelling, "I just want a piece of effing cake." I must have gone back about 7 times, and each time I couldn't get to it. I just kept saying, "I just want a piece of effing cake." Then I looked to the dark sky for a second and saw what sort of looked like a shooting star. My brother said something about it being time. I immediately knew that Jesus was bringing us home. Water flooded over us, and it was rough water, but we weren't scared. We were thrilled. I grabbed Kirsten's hand, and we floated away together going to heaven. It was amazing, and I smile thinking of the joy and peace I had inside. Thank you very much. That's it for today. I will see you next Sunday at 6:30 p.m. This is California Dreaming. And remember, you are loved. Everything that happens is for a reason, and this too shall pass. Thank you. Good night.